people of Australia or Canada or the other people, other nations, then we understand that how much important was the role of ulama and the scholars in this area, particularly the like Sayyid Habubi, when they actually started, or let's say, issued fatwa against the invaders to defend, to protect their own people, their own country, their own nation, and their own beliefs and culture.
Yes.
I think when we look at the history from this perspective, I mean, if we focus on the role of ulama and scholars, from this perspective, we see that it was really, really significant. It was really, really crucial and important role that was played by these great scholars. Otherwise, for example, had these foreigners succeeded to invade, for example, these areas, they would have done whatever they could, as they did with the other nations.
Mm-hmm.
But alhamdulillah, by the virtue of the presence of these kind of scholars, like Sayyid Habubi and many other scholars, alhamdulillah, the people and this civilization, Islamic civilization, Islamic nation, Islamic ummah, they were saved and they were protected against these invaders.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why the role of these great scholars, these great ulama, is really significant in the history.
That's right. Again, we could see that the type of jihad that they were after is very much different from the type of jihadist look in the extremist form that we see, for example, in the ISIS format or Al-Qaeda or something, because they call themselves Mujahid too. But this type of jihad was for the independence of Islamic lands against the foreign powers. But unfortunately, we saw that, for example, ISIS was funded by the Western powers. Mm-hmm. In so many documents that are, we can say, available, we could see that. Sayyid Habubi was also famous for issuing fatwa or giving a permission or jawaz for establishing, for example, schools or new schools in Baghdad teaching foreign languages. This might be very much interesting, Sheikh Fada, isn't it?
As we know, Islam is an international and world religion.
Yes.
And we believe that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last prophet, and his religion was the last one, and not just last, the most complete one.
Mm-hmm.
So if we believe and claim that this is the most complete and the last religion, so we have to spread this religion all over the globe. So how is it possible? If we don't care about learning religion and spreading this learning languages and spreading this religion to other countries, so this goal cannot be achieved. One of the main and first steps to spread a religion and belief in other countries is language. As we can see, our enemy, always they've been doing that.
Yes.
They have a lot of people who learn languages of other countries, and then they start to spread and contribute their...
Or invade culturally the other lands, the Muslim lands, that's right.
By the means of media, and now we can say, for example, in Iran, we speak in Persian, but we have Iran International, and we have Persian BBC.
Yes.
They live there, but they have media by our language.
Okay.
So how...
We can say favorite language on whom the different channels and networks are established is the Persian one.
And their government pay all the costs.
Yes,
that.
The funds, they're funded,
so
yes.
How is it possible that we can see our enemies are doing that, but we don't want to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, even nowadays in our Hoza, some scholars and some students, they don't believe in that.
Uh-huh.
They may think that it's none of our business to learn other languages.
Other languages, that's right.
Because it is fair and it's based on Arabic. No, it's an incorrect idea.
Yes.
And as we can see, like Ayatollah Habubi, at that time, it was so strange to think about other languages. So because it was not a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
It is the idea which was invented by our Prophet. Our Prophet had a lot of people sent to other countries.
Yes, yes.
So why don't we think about that?
Yes.
How is it possible when Prophet sent someone to other country, it means that someone here knew another language.
That's right.
So some bilingual person existed there. So this is international preaching. And after that, in the time of our Islamic Revolution, we could see that Imam Khomeini, at the beginning of this government, he focused and concentrated on this. Yes. We have a sentence from Imam Khomeini. Yes. He said that learning languages should be in the seminary schools, all seminary schools.
That's right.
That's 50 years ago.
Yes, yes.
So it is so important because our religion is international.
That's
it is
right.
A duty for our scholars.
Even nowadays, Ayatollah Khamenei has talked about jihad-e-tabyin,
yeah,
or jihad for clarification. One important step is important is clarifying your message and the true message of Islam in different languages, okay? So, as you said, people like Habubi were the forerunners, were the pioneers in this field. That was very much great. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadahi and Sheikh Rouhani, okay, for a nice elaboration regarding the socio-political and the religious life of Sayyid Muhammad Sayyid Habubi, one of the leaders of jihad against British forces in Iraq. It was very kind of you. Finally, he passed away in 1333 at the Iraq. His body was taken into the holy city of Najaf, and he was buried in one of the main courtyards of the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even the Ottoman empires admired his role in defending the independence of Islamic Iraq and the land of Iraq on that time. Thank you very much, Sheikh.
You're
it was very kind of you. And thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern Tales. Roundtable discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام: يا ابن آدم، ما كسبت فوق قوتك فأنت فيه خازن لغيرك.
Amir al-Mu'mineen, Ali alayhi salam, said, O son of Adam, whatever you earn beyond your basic needs, you will only keep vigil over it for others.
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the program's to my brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear friends, we are talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, this beautiful manifestation and this pure manifestation of the teachings of the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him and his holy household. Of course, we understand and we know that Imam Ali alayhi salam was literally brought up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now, because the Messenger of Allah brought up Imam Ali alayhi salam, of course, we see that the universal persona of His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was truly something that can be called the living, breathing miracle of the Messenger of Allah. It is almost like a copy-paste process. So those qualities and attributes which made the Messenger of Allah who he was, whether it was honor or bravery or chivalry or altruism, generosity, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, care, affection, steadfastness, patience, of course, determination, firm will, all these different characteristics and attributes which were in the Messenger of Allah were passed on to his greatest and most perfect disciple, Imam Ali alayhi salam, the first divinely appointed Imam and the rightful successor to the Messenger of Allah. Now, we find that in one certain place, the Messenger of Allah, of course, peace and blessings upon him, says that soon after my passing away, mischief and sedition and fitna will occur among you people from every direction. At that time, do not leave Ali alone if you look for salvation, for it is Ali who will distinguish between what is just and what is unjust. He will remove the dust of injustice from justice. So here, dear friends, again, we find that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him, is encouraging us to go towards the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam, to the point where he is saying that it is Imam Ali alayhi salam who will be able to judge and distinguish and differentiate between those who are acting justly, those who are just, those who are promoting or loving justice, and those who are on the side of injustice, and those who are promoting injustice, and those who are themselves unjust. So here we have to understand that this universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam is truly this ultimate manifestation of truth and justice and the teachings of Islam and the Quran, and the correct understanding of the teachings of the Quran and the teachings of the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings upon him. And so it is because Imam Ali alayhi salam's universal persona is so in sync and one with this reality and the essence of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah and the Messenger of Allah, that His Eminence, the first divinely appointed Imam, is able to distinguish between what is just and what is unjust, especially in a time after the Messenger of Allah left this transient abode for the eternal home. We find that there are great seditions and fitnas which occur. And of course, these seditions and fitnas confused a great many people. They didn't know what side to choose. But even before the Messenger of Allah passed away and he left this world, he told us that if you want to look for salvation, if you want to be on the side of the just and you want to be on the side of justice, then you must never leave Ali. And matter of fact, you must always be on the side of Ali. A very comprehensive lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of iRabi English Radio, the program To My Brother. This moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. اللهم إن قلوب المخبتين إليك والها وسبل الراغبين إليك شارعا وعلاهم القاصدين إليك واضحا.
O Allah, verily the hearts of those who surrender to Thee are full of passionate love. The path of those who long for Thee is the straight, true road. The instructions given by those who lead on Thee are distinct and precise. The minds of those who are aware of Thy reality are filled with awe and reverence. The call of those who invite unto Thee is loud and clear, and the doors of approval are kept open for them. Whoso submits a supplication to Thee receives a favorable answer. Whoso turns repentant unto Thee gets acceptance and amnesty. Whoso bursts into tears in fear of Thy punishment obtains mercy. Whoso seeks redress from Thee finds the required assistance at his disposal. Whoso asks for Thy help procures the aid as a gift. Thy promise made with Thy servants is fulfilled. Whoso asks for pardon of his errors finds them reduced to nothing. Whoso does everything for Thy sake discovers that each and every deed has been preserved. The means of livelihood available to the created being come from Thee like a rainfall, and in addition, many recurring favors and bounties reach them in regular succession. The sin of those who ask for forgiveness are overlooked. The wants and needs of all that which has been created by Thee are properly satisfied. Those who put forward genuine demands get more than they ask for, one after the other, again and again. For the hungry, wholesome food is arranged. For the thirsty, clean water is available in abundance.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Ridhvi.
All Muslims take pride in saying, oh, Ibrahim was a Muslim. What they don't want to know or notice in the Quran is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used another name also for Ibrahim alayhi salam. In surah number 37, ayat 79 to 83, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the story of the Anbiya. He says, Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his greetings to Nuh alayhi salam. Inna kadhalika najzil muhsineen. The way he delivered and rescued Nuh, he says, this is how we give the reward to the good doers. Innahu min ibadina al-mu'mineen. Nuh was from our believing servants. Summa aghraqna al-akhirin. And others who opposed him, we drowned them. So after Nuh, an important prophet, who is he? Ibrahim. So here, after saying Salamun ala Nuhin fil alameen, after sending his greetings to Nuh alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then describes the second important Nabi, and he says, Wa inna min shi'atihi la Ibrahim. And among the followers of Nuh, min shi'atihi, and one of those who followed after Nuh was Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Of course, Ibrahim is not Shia Ali here, he is Shia Nuh. But the point is that the name Shia Muslim is not a bid'at. It is not something out of, you know, the alien world. This is not invention of the ulama. No, this comes from the name given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. Low to describe one of his important anbiya by the name of Ibrahim as a Muslim in one ayat and a Shia in another ayat.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode of To My Brother. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care. Bye for now.
In the limelight.
Senior doctors in England began voting on strike action over pay, piling pressure on Britain's Prime Minister Rishi Sunak to resolve a series of long-running pay disputes. We take a look at the British media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. Ministers are facing the possibility of fresh industrial unrest as teachers and senior doctors prepare to ballot for strike action and hundreds of nurses gather for the Royal College of Nursing annual congress. It comes as the Royal College of Nursing General Secretary Pat Cullen called on Health Secretary Steve Barclay to restart pay negotiations, with a proposed rise in double digits. Members of the Royal College of Nursing, one of the two unions to turn down the recent government pay offer to NHS staff, will gather in Brighton, East Sussex, as the long-running dispute continues. Union members will begin a new ballot for strike action on 23rd of May, after the existing six-month mandate runs out at the start of the month. But a Department of Health spokesperson said the government's pay offer was fair and said that there were no plans to reopen negotiations on this deal. Senior doctors and teachers' unions were also being urged to think carefully before taking strike action as they prepare to ballot their members. Members of the National Association of Head Teachers and National Education Union, NEU, rejected the government's recent pay offer, with ballots for members to vote on industrial action opening on Monday, 15th of May. The NEU, the National Education Union, said it will be re-balloting teacher members working in England's state-funded schools, with the current mandate for industrial action ending on 13th of July. The National Association of Head Teachers ballot will close on 31st of July, with education unions agreeing to coordinate strike action in the autumn term. The National Education Union Joint Secretaries Mary Busted and Kevin Courtney blamed a lack of engagement from the government for the decision, but said it was never too late for the Education Secretary to come to the negotiating table and make an improved offer. The General Secretary of the National Association of Head Teachers, Paul Whiteman, said that the union had been left with no other choice but to seek this mandate for industrial action. A Department of Education spokesperson said the move was bitterly disappointing. Senior doctors in England also start voting on Monday, 15th of May, on whether to strike in the continuing dispute over pay. Dr. Vishal Sharma, who chairs the British Medical Association Consultants Committee, said talks had been held with the government to try to resolve the long-running row, but it remains deadlocked. He said the union simply could not accept a deal that continued this downward trend and has been left with no option but to proceed today with a ballot for industrial action. A Department of Health spokesperson said, "We hugely value the work of NHS consultants and they receive a 4.5% pay uplift last financial year, increasing average earnings to around £128,000. They will also benefit from generous changes to pension taxation announced at budget and are eligible to apply for additional financial awards worth up to £40,000 a year as part of the NHS consultant contract. We urge the British Medical Association to carefully consider the likely impact of any action on patients." British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. Senior doctors in England are to vote on whether to strike amid continued row over pay in healthcare, as teachers' union also plan to hold a ballot for industrial action. The ballot will open on Monday, 15th of May, until 27th of June, as the British Medical Association urges members to approve. Dr. Vishal Sharma, who chairs the British Medical Association Consultants Committee, said talks were held with the government in an attempt to resolve the dispute, but the deadlock persisted. "We have seen our take-home pay decline by 35% since 2008-2009, and this is even before the impact of this year's soaring inflation has been considered," Dr. Vishal Sharma said, speaking on behalf of consultants. "As a result of this, consultants are now effectively working 4 months of the year for free. Even as late as this weekend, we remained hopeful that we would secure a pay offer that went some way towards marking up for the decline we have seen. Unfortunately, however, given that inflation remains in double digits, the final offer from the government represented yet another real terms pay cut. On the back of 15 years of our pay declining, we simply could not accept a deal that continued this downward trend and have been left with no other option but to proceed today with the ballot for further industrial action." Dr. Vishal Sharma said consultants did not want to take industrial action, adding, "Ultimately, the government made a political choice to cut our pay again this year, and unless we can secure a commitment that the government will take the necessary steps to restore our pay over the long term, we simply cannot accept an offer that sees our pay fall even further." Meanwhile, a nurses' union is preparing to ballot on whether to strike again after its leader requested a double-figure pay rise for nurses. Pat Cullen, General Secretary of the Royal College of Nursing, initially encouraged Royal College of Nursing members to accept the government's offer of a 5% rise for 2023-2024 and a one-off payment worth between £1,655 and £3,789. However, this was rejected in a vote by 54% against and 46% in favour. Speaking to the Sunday Times, the General Secretary of the Royal College of Nursing, Pat Cullen, called on the Health Secretary, Steve Barclay, to restart negotiations and said the numbers need to start off in double figures. Grant Shapps, the Energy Secretary, told Sky News he found Pat Cullen's change of position to be confusing. Two teachers' unions will also open new strike ballots on Monday, raising the prospect of coordinated industrial action in the autumn term that would cause widespread disruption to schools in England. The National Education Union, the NEU, which has already staged strikes this year in pursuit of its claim for a fully funded above-inflation pay rise, is reballoting its members as its current mandate for industrial action ends on 13th of July. Members of the National Association of Head Teachers will also be asked to vote on whether they are in favour of taking strike action after failing to reach the legal threshold for turnout in an earlier ballot. Other unions are also expected to ballot their members after all four education unions rejected the government's final pay offer of a £1,000 bonus and a 4.5% average pay increase next year. Dr. Mary Boosted and Kevin Courtney, the National Education Union Joint General Secretary, said the pay and funding offer made by the Education Secretary, Gillian Keegan, following 6 days of talks in March was simply not good enough, and teachers branded it an insult. A re-ballot would allow the National Education Union to coordinate action with other teacher unions in the autumn term if government does not provide a settlement to the dispute. The Department for Education said it is bitterly disappointing that unions continue to pursue strike action despite having already cost children almost a week in school. The Department of Health and Social Care spokesperson said We hugely value the work of NHS consultants, and they receive a 4.5% pay uplift last financial year, increasing average earnings to around £128,000. The Department of Health and Social Care spokesperson added, "We urge the British Medical Association to carefully consider the likely impact of any industrial action on patients."
This is A to Z. An introduction to an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, what to do when our parents quarrel. In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, may his peace and blessings be upon Muhammad and his pure, immaculate Ahlul Bayt. Salaamu Alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to A to Z, IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. I'm Farhad, your host, and I'm very honored to have you with me for this session. We're going to start our program today with a question, and that is, my mother and father disagree with each other over everything, no matter how big or small, and we, the children, become upset whenever the quarrels begin. We are afraid and worried about the future of the family. The question is, what should we do? This question is a very common question, and some families probably suffer from this kind of problems, unfortunately. And it's very bad. This condition is very also suffering for the children who live in such families. So to answer this question, I would suggest the children of these families that when your parents are at peace, talk to them about the negative effects of quarrel, which may destroy everyone's future. But when they are quarreling, you have to be tolerant and indifferent towards what is happening as long as there are no dangerous events. So when you become impatient, go to a different place, for example, to another room or the yard. And when they begin quarreling, try to play a cast of Quranic recitation or decide to exchange jokes amongst each other to stop their quarreling by laughter. Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters. You are listening to A to Z, IRB English Radio, Call of Islam page, and we were talking about the children and how they can control the anger of their parents when they are quarreling and how to actually survive in such a condition. And based on what we understand from Quran and Hadith, we actually gave some principles which were quite important, and it was, when they are at peace, we can talk to them and warn them about the bad end of this such a story, such a leaving. And when they are quarreling, we should be tolerant and indifferent about what is happening and try to change the atmosphere by, for example, playing a cast of Quranic recitation or making joke between them to lessen actually their anger and their emotion. But it is necessary for you to know that this state, although it is dangerous for your future if it continues, and it can be solved if you undertake your responsibility as adult children in the house and as an alternative to the parents who are sunken in the fire of rage and selfishness. So don't worry, you will soon grow and live independently away from them in order to not be like your parents. Ye should take lessons from their state. For as Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam has said, a reasonable one is he who takes lessons from the experiments of others. So by looking at such a parents, we have to understand and we have to take this lesson that if we continue this way, we will get our future and our belongings future in danger. So actually we can study and we can learn from such families that living in this way will not have a good end. So we can control our emotion, we can control our feelings, our anger, by the principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared in Quran, by Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, in our authentic ahadith, how to live a life in peace and ease, inshallah. Thank you for staying with us.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
The Limelight.
After coming to office despite making false promises regarding immigrants, U.S. President Joe Biden has adopted the same extremist policies as his predecessor Donald Trump. Meanwhile, Amnesty International has said the United States has once again taken the wrong approach to responding to the global refugee crisis. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has covered this story and tells us more. The Biden administration began implementing a sweeping policy shift at the U.S.-Mexico border on Friday, 12th of May, as a COVID-era order that had allowed the swift expulsion of many migrants expired and new asylum restrictions took effect amid confusion and uncertainty. Several last-minute court actions added to questions about how President Biden's reworked border strategy will play out, with advocates filing a legal challenge to the new asylum regulation as it was enacted. Facing concerns that the end of a three-year-old order, known as Title 42, could further strain U.S. border facilities, cities and towns, U.S. officials were keeping a close eye on the movement of migrants that had already reached record numbers in recent days. U.S. Department of Homeland Security official Blas Nunes Neto told reporters on Friday, 12th of May, "We continue to encounter high levels of non-citizens at the border, but we did not see a substantial increase overnight or an influx at midnight when Title 42 expired." Seeking to discourage migrants from traveling to the U.S.-Mexico border, the Mexican government said its National Migration Institute has ordered its officers not to issue immigration documents or other permits enabling travel within the country, creating another obstacle for migrants. Though a chaotic race to U.S. border ports of entry on Thursday, 11th of May, appeared to have given way to relative calm on Friday, 12th of May, there was a sense of confusion among some migrants. As the U.S. border fence dividing El Paso, Texas from Mexico's Ciudad Juarez, hundreds of migrants who had slept there overnight formed a single file line to be brought into the U.S. by authorities and put on buses. Texas National Guard, state troopers and border agents patrolled the area. Immigration advocates represented by the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, filed a legal challenge against the new asylum bars, claiming they violated U.S. and international laws. Advocates argue that the new regulation put in place by Biden's Democratic administration to curb illegal crossings resembles restrictions imposed by his Republican predecessor Donald Trump that they had successfully blocked in courts of law. U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas defended the Biden regulation, claiming it aims to encourage migrants to enter using legal pathways. Alejandro Mayorkas told MSNBC, "It's going to be a tough transition." U.S. asylum officers hurried to figure out the logistics of applying the new asylum regulation. Further complicating the new U.S. policy, a federal judge in Florida ordered the U.S. Border Patrol not to release any migrants without first issuing them formal notices to appear in immigration court. The Texas Attorney General later asked the federal judge to do the same. The site of Globe and Mail has also covered the same story. In chaotic scenes on Thursday, 11th of May, migrants scrambled to enter the U.S. before the new rule went into effect. The regulation presumes most migrants are ineligible for asylum if they pass through other countries without first seeking protection elsewhere, or if they fail to use legal pathways for U.S. entry, which President Biden has expanded. Tens of thousands of migrants in recent days waded through rivers, climbed walls and embankments into U.S. territory. Lindsay Taxilowski, director of Immigrant Defenders Law Center, one of the groups suing the Biden administration, said the new asylum policy was extremely disappointing when people's lives are in the balance. According to the National Border Patrol Council, a union for agents, around 25,000 migrants were being held in U.S. Customs and Border Protection, CBP, facilities near the U.S.-Mexico border on Friday, 12th of May. About 10,000 migrants per day were reported crossing illegally over the past few days. Unaccompanied children are exempt from the new regulation, and advocates have warned that parents might send children across the border alone. Former U.S. President Donald Trump first implemented Title 42 in March of 2020 as COVID swept the globe. The order allowed American authorities to quickly expel migrants to Mexico or other countries without a chance to request asylum. Some Democrats and immigration advocates say Joe Biden's new regulation is too harsh. The measure also counters previous statements Biden made in 2020. On the campaign trail, when he said it was wrong for people not to be able to seek asylum on U.S. soil. Joe Biden, who campaigned on reversing Donald Trump's policies and is now running for re-election in 2024, kept the order in place. Migrants have been expelled more than 2.7 million times under Title 42, although the total includes repeat crossers. Mexico has generally only accepted certain nationalities, its own citizens, migrants from northern Central America, and more recently migrants from Venezuela, Cuba, Haiti, and Nicaragua. So during the same period, around 2.8 million migrants ineligible for expulsion were allowed into the U.S. under a process known as Title 8 to pursue immigration claims. Republicans fault the Biden administration for easing Donald Trump's more restrictive policies, while the Biden administration has blamed Republicans for blocking legislation to reform the U.S. immigration system. The British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. As Title 42 pandemic-era rule ended at midnight on Thursday, 11th of May, Alejandro Mayorkas, the U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security and a former Cuban refugee, issued a stern warning to would-be migrants, saying, "People who arrive at the U.S.-Mexico border without using a lawful pathway will be presumed ineligible for asylum." In many ways, Alejandro Mayorkas' statement directly contradicted some of the promises U.S. President Joe Biden made as a candidate during the 2020 presidential election. Then Biden had pledged to dismantle Donald Trump's hardline immigration agenda, calling the numerous restrictions his rival enacted to shut off access to the U.S. asylum system as cruel. After taking office, Joe Biden reversed some of Donald Trump's border policies, including a program that required asylum seekers to wait in dangerous Mexican border cities while their cases were being reviewed by U.S. courts of law. But for more than a year, President Biden kept and defended in court Donald Trump's most sweeping border restriction, the Title 42 emergency order that allowed agents to cite the COVID-19 pandemic to quickly expel migrants without hearing asylum claims. The Biden administration on Friday, 12th of May, started implementing a rule barring migrants from asylum if they don't request refugee status in another country before entering the United States. Advocates suggested that such a restriction mimics two Trump-era policies known as the entry and transit asylum bans, which were consequently blocked by courts of law. As a result, the new restrictive border control has already been challenged by the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU, and other immigrant rights groups in federal courts of law. In its effort to dissuade migrants from traveling north, the Biden administration has also partnered with the Colombian and Panamanian governments to create regional processing centers to screen migrants who could be eligible to enter the U.S. legally.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifim.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common. Ideal University Student brings change in thinking and reality of the society and world.
The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with university students and representatives of student associations in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on April 18th, 2023. In my opinion, it was good to see you mentioning the names of the late Shaheed Mutahhari, Shaheed Beheshti, and the late Ayatollah Misbah Yazdi, and others like them. Their books are good. The experiences that our youths have had are also good. Now, let's say, for example, that a young Basiji near Tehran, such as Shaheed Mustafa Sadrzadeh, is active and making an effort. A couple of books have been written about him that I have read. In these books, you see how much he strove to work hard and move forward. We should see these things and move forward. This was the first point that I wanted to make. I would like to say a few things about university students. I must talk about this quickly so that we can cover everything. The first point is this. You need to know that this is my definite opinion. The student activities, like the students themselves, are an opportunity for the country. Some people might feel threatened by some of the student activities or any kind of activity. Of course, healthy activities. I will talk about some of the problems with these soon. They are mistaken. Student activities are an opportunity for the country. The demands of students are an opportunity. A student's language is an opportunity.
دنیای اسلام یک
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The sense of responsibility that students feel with regard to the events taking place in their country is an opportunity. The fact that you put in effort to come here with exuberance and excitement, and you cite such and such problems, this is an opportunity for the country. This is something valuable for the nation. The enthusiasm that the student community and young students have for solving problems is an opportunity. The sensational presence of students in various events, whether in natural events or in political events such as the Quds Day March, the walk of the 22nd of Bahman and the like, are all important opportunities. The opinions expressed regarding political matters, economic issues and some decisions, these are opportunities. These opinions are opportunities. I'm not saying they are correct. Pay attention to this. Some of them may be correct, others may not be. But the act of expressing your opinion and thinking about a problem, this is an opportunity for the country. Of course, it is possible for there to be damages associated with it. Student activities should not suffer from deviations. Be careful.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip marked the 75th anniversary of the Nakba Day, also known as the Day of Catastrophe, in front of the United Nations office. Nakba Day marks the displacement of Palestinians upon the establishment of the Israeli regime in 1948, when Zionists drove out hundreds of thousands of Palestinians from the historic land of Palestine. According to UN figures, there are currently around 5 million registered Palestinian refugees. Around 1.3 million refugees live in the Gaza Strip and reside in 8 refugee camps under miserable living conditions. The Palestinian Legislative Council in Gaza also held a special session commemorating 75 years of Nakba and called on the international community to stop turning a blind eye to the plight of Palestinians.
Palestinians expressing their disappointment of the UN representing the international community, who had created the Zionist entity in 1948.